City and Guilds Qualifications. International ESOL Mastery Level. New 2009 CEFR Aligned Practice Paper 3. Part 1. Part 1. You will hear 8 sentences twice. Choose the best reply to each sentence. Look at the example. If you hear, "What's the matter? You look very pale. What's the matter? You look very pale," the best reply is C. Put a circle round the letter of the best reply. Number 1. Number 1.
I'm feeling a bit peckish. I'm feeling a bit peckish.
Number 2. Number 2.
I haven't the faintest idea why he never turned up. I haven't the faintest idea why he never turned up.
Number 3. Number 3.
Your recent performance leaves much to be desired, I'm afraid. Your recent performance leaves much to be desired, I'm afraid.
Number 4. Number 4.
I think you should stop taking your girlfriend for granted. I think you should stop taking your girlfriend for granted.
Number 5. Number 5.
You might have been a bit more diplomatic, John. You might have been a bit more diplomatic, John.
Number 6. Number 6.
I reckon he'll get a main part in our school play. I reckon he'll get a main part in our school play.
Number 7. Number 7.
I can't believe he's bought such a tacky bracelet for her birthday. I can't believe he's bought such a tacky bracelet for her birthday.
Number 8. Number 8.
So, without further ado, I'll hand the floor to Christina Donaldson. So, without further ado, I'll hand the floor to Christina Donaldson.
That is the end of part one. Part two. Part two. You will hear 3 conversations. Listen to the conversations and answer the questions below. Put a circle round the letter of the correct answer. You will hear each conversation twice. Look at the questions for conversation 1. Conversation 1.
Have you managed to get hold of Mark?
Yes, and he reckons I have a case, but it'll probably cost me an arm and a leg to take them to court, plus all the stress involved. I'm not sure it's worth it.
Of course it is. There's no question about it. Paid holiday is your statutory entitlement, and you shouldn't have been denied it.
In principle, I couldn't agree more. But I'll have to work there afterwards, day in, day out, and they might always find a way to get rid of me, you know.
I know what you mean, Amy, but I still think you should stand up for yourself, even if you only get minimal compensation. It's the principle that counts, isn't it?
Conversation 1.
Have you managed to get hold of Mark?
Yes, and he reckons I have a case, but it'll probably cost me an arm and a leg to take them to court, plus all the stress involved. I'm not sure it's worth it.
Of course it is. There's no question about it. Paid holiday is your statutory entitlement, and you shouldn't have been denied it.
In principle, I couldn't agree more. But I'll have to work there afterwards, day in, day out, and they might always find a way to get rid of me, you know.
I know what you mean, Amy, but I still think you should stand up for yourself, even if you only get minimal compensation. It's the principle that counts, isn't it?
Now look at the questions for conversation 2. Conversation 2.
And here. That's the last signature I need. Thank you.
I understand your rates include insurance.
That's right. They include everything except petrol and oil. You just need to fill up.
Okay. And one last thing. How do I get on the main road into town from here?
When you get to the barrier, I'll let you out. Turn right, then second left. Where exactly are you heading?
The centre of Glasgow.
There are roadworks on the Ring Road, and there have been some terrible jams this week. You'd probably be better off staying on the M8.
Thanks for the warning. I doubt my sat-nav would have picked that up. All the latest gadgets and gizmos. You'd think for all I paid for it, it would drive the car itself.
Conversation 2.
And here. That's the last signature I need. Thank you.
I understand your rates include insurance.
That's right. They include everything except petrol and oil. You just need to fill up.
Okay. And one last thing. How do I get on the main road into town from here?
When you get to the barrier, I'll let you out. Turn right, then second left. Where exactly are you heading?
The centre of Glasgow.
There are roadworks on the Ring Road, and there have been some terrible jams this week. You'd probably be better off staying on the M8.
Thanks for the warning. I doubt my sat-nav would have picked that up. All the latest gadgets and gizmos. You'd think for all I paid for it, it would drive the car itself.
Now look at the questions for conversation 3. Conversation 3.
I thought that when I entered my bedroom, I'd just be able to reach round the door and put the lights on.
Well, you didn't make it clear on the plans where exactly you wanted it to be.
True, it wasn't written down, but I would have thought it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, if it wasn't, and you weren't here in person to check, how was I supposed to know? I can't read your mind.
I'm not happy with it as it is. Can I have it here instead of where you've put it?
Okay, but I'll need to re-plaster afterwards, and I'll have to charge extra. For future reference, perhaps you could check the plans carefully before you go out for the day.
Conversation 3.
I thought that when I entered my bedroom, I'd just be able to reach round the door and put the lights on.
Well, you didn't make it clear on the plans where exactly you wanted it to be.
True, it wasn't written down, but I would have thought it's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, if it wasn't, and you weren't here in person to check, how was I supposed to know? I can't read your mind.
I'm not happy with it as it is. Can I have it here instead of where you've put it?
Okay, but I'll need to re-plaster afterwards, and I'll have to charge extra. For future reference, perhaps you could check the plans carefully before you go out for the day.
That is the end of part 2. Part 3. Part 3. Listen to the extract from a lecture and complete the notes. Write short answers, 1 to 5 words. An example is done for you. At the end of the extract, you will have 2 minutes to read through and check your answers. You will hear the lecture twice. You have 1 minute to look at the notes below.
Little is known about the cultures that occupied the southern Sahara at a time when the desert was wetter and more hospitable to life than it is today. But with the discovery at Gobero of some 200 burials, striking evidence is coming to light about two cultures that lived in the now hyper-arid desert in Niger. The Kifian, who began living there about 10,000 years ago, were a fishing-based culture that inhabited a lush setting abundant with water-adapted animals until about 8,000 years ago. More than 1,000 years passed before the next inhabitants, the Tanarian, settled in the same region. We can distinguish between the cultures by their pottery, stone tools, and burial practices. The Kifian decorated their ceramic vessels with wavy lines and zigzags. They fashioned harpoons and fishing instruments from bone. The size of some of the tools indicates that they sought Nile perch, weighing hundreds of pounds, and perhaps hunted hippos and crocodiles. Before burial, the Kifian were tightly bundled, perhaps squeezed into a basket or pouch. There's evidence that they stood over 2 meters tall and had a robust musculature. The skeletons the archaeologists found are dark in colour, probably caused by the lake's flooding around 8,000 years ago, inundating the cemetery and staining the bones. The Tanarian, who occupied the site some 6,500 to 4,500 years ago, were shorter, with thinner skulls than their predecessors. Their bones weren't darkened from inundation, indicating that the lakes were drying up, which eventually must have forced the Tanarian to leave. The dead were buried on their sides in casual positions. Double burials distinguish these people from the Kifian. Most of the cultural artifacts found at Gobero are Tanarian. Their ceramics are decorated with dotted patterns, rather than with the wavy lines seen in the Kiffian ceramics. Many of the stone tools, scrapers, knives, arrowheads, are made from a green stone called felsite, and of local rock or bone. No one knows where these people came from, nor do we know whether they were nomads or colonizers who traded or waged war with neighboring communities.
Part 3.
Little is known about the cultures that occupied the southern Sahara at a time when the desert was wetter and more hospitable to life than it is today. But with the discovery at Gobero of some 200 burials, striking evidence is coming to light about two cultures that lived in the now hyper-arid desert in Niger. The Kiffian, who began living there about 10,000 years ago, were a fishing-based culture that inhabited a lush setting abundant with water-adapted animals until about 8,000 years ago. More than 1,000 years passed before the next inhabitants, the Tanarian, settled in the same region. We can distinguish between the cultures by their pottery, stone tools, and burial practices. The Kiffian decorated their ceramic vessels with wavy lines and zigzags. They fashioned harpoons and fishing instruments from bone. The size of some of the tools indicates that they sought Nile perch, weighing hundreds of pounds, and perhaps hunted hippos and crocodiles. Before burial, the Kiffian were tightly bundled, perhaps squeezed into a basket or pouch. There's evidence that they stood over 2 meters tall and had a robust musculature. The skeletons the archaeologists found are dark in color, probably caused by the lake's flooding around 8,000 years ago, inundating the cemetery and staining the bones. The Tanarian, who occupied the site some 6,500 to 4,500 years ago, were shorter, with thinner skulls than their predecessors. Their bones weren't darkened from inundation, indicating that the lakes were drying up, which eventually must have forced the Tanarian to leave. The dead were buried on their sides in casual positions. Double burials distinguish these people from the Kiffian. Most of the cultural artifacts found at Gobero are Tanarian. Their ceramics are decorated with dotted patterns, rather than with the wavy lines seen in the Kiffian ceramics. Many of the stone tools, scrapers, knives, arrowheads, are made from a green stone called felsite, and of local rock or bone. No one knows where these people came from, nor do we know whether they were nomads or colonizers who traded or waged war with neighboring communities.
You will now have 2 minutes to read through and check your answers. That is the end of Part 3. Part 4. Part 4. Listen to the conversation and answer the questions. Put a circle round the letter of the correct answer. An example is done for you. You will hear the conversation twice. You have 2 minutes to read through the questions below.
Hi, Amy. Hi, Jordan. Funny bumping into you two again. Looking for some peace and quiet, I see.
Hi, Jack. Yep, we just wanted to go over our notes before today's exam. Won't be long, though. Jordan's dying for a coffee. Obviously, we can't get one in here.
Have you seen this? The article about a new survey on genetically modified food.
The 2-page one in yesterday's paper? Yes, I was reading it earlier and... to be honest, I didn't get much out of it. For one thing, it all seems pretty obvious to me. You don't really need a survey to tell you that, do you?
Well, I think the media definitely have a part to play here. I guess it's not that simple, is it? I mean, some people may be quite oblivious to what genetic modification entails and the current attitudes towards it. So yes, you might question how the problem is presented or distrust statistical methodology, but this is quite a different issue, isn't it?
Yes, I think you've got a point there, Jack. So where do you stand on the GM food argument?
When I hear people getting het up about GM foods, I just... well, for me, all that ranting and raving against GM is just ignorance. Or rather, some people seem to have conveniently forgotten that cows are not meant to produce milk all year round, but are bred, selected and reared to do so. And they have been for centuries. And by the same token, the original potatoes were not white, but again selected and bred to be so. So why has everybody started fussing now?
Well, I read about a study in Canada where mice were given corn syrup made of GM corn and another group of mice corn syrup made of normal corn. The mice that got the GM food lost half their babies. The mice that got the normal food lost only 7% of their babies. Quite revealing, don't you think? We simply don't know what the effects of messing with genes are going to be.
Well, I'm not sure, Jordan. What is this supposed to prove? Research on mice. How much do we have in common with mice? And I've heard of many studies showing that genetic modification has not had the slightest detrimental effect, not even...
You mean research conducted by scientists who work for big corporations, Jack? I can see there's still a big group of people who can't distinguish market-driven scientific mumbo-jumbo from reliable research.
Some people probably can't, but I'm not one of them. You're doing it again, Jordan. Why do you always have to generalise like that and put people in boxes? It drives me crackers when you do that.
All right, you two. Let's drop it then. Have you both read the whole article? Remember the last paragraph?
Sorry, Amy. The last paragraph? Oh, you mean the one where they talk about supermarket chains stocking lots of dairy and meat products from GM-fed animals? What about it?
Just that we could all be eating food produced from GM crops without even knowing it, simply because there is no requirement to mention that on food packaging. Don't get me wrong, whether you're a GM advocate or its critic, you should be given a choice. And it seems to me we're being deprived of it at the moment.
Absolutely. I agree with you there, Amy. Although, generally, Jordan and I are still poles apart on the issue. And I'm afraid it would take him ages to win me over.
Part 4.
Hi, Amy. Hi, Jordan. Funny bumping into you two again. Looking for some peace and quiet, I see.
Hi, Jack. Yep, we just wanted to go over our notes before today's exam. Won't be long, though. Jordan's dying for a coffee. Obviously, we can't get one in here.
Have you seen this? The article about a new survey on genetically modified food.
The 2-page one in yesterday's paper? Yes, I was reading it earlier, and to be honest, I didn't get much out of it. For one thing, it all seems pretty obvious to me. You don't really need a survey to tell you that, do you?
Well, I think the media definitely have a part to play here. I guess it's not that simple, is it? I mean, some people may be quite oblivious to what genetic modification entails and the current attitudes towards it. So yes, you might question how the problem is presented or distrust statistical methodology, but this is quite a different issue, isn't it?
Yes, I think you've got a point there, Jack. So where do you stand on the GM food argument?
When I hear people getting het up about GM foods, I just... Well, for me, all that ranting and raving against GM is just ignorance. Or rather, some people seem to have conveniently forgotten that cows are not meant to produce milk all year round, but are bred, selected and reared to do so. And they have been for centuries. And by the same token, the original potatoes were not white, but again selected and bred to be so. So why has everybody started fussing now?
Well, I read about a study in Canada where mice were given corn syrup made of GM corn and another group of mice corn syrup made of normal corn. The mice that got the GM food lost half their babies. The mice that got the normal food lost only 7% of their babies. Quite revealing, don't you think? We simply don't know what the effects of messing with genes are going to be.
Well, I'm not sure, Jordan. What is this supposed to prove? Research on mice. How much do we have in common with mice? And I've heard of many studies showing that genetic modification has not had the slightest detrimental effect, not
even... You mean research conducted by scientists who work for big corporations, Jack? I can see there's still a big group of people who can't distinguish market-driven scientific mumbo-jumbo from reliable research.
Some people probably can't, but I'm not one of them. You're doing it again, Jordan. Why do you always have to generalise like that and put people in boxes? It drives me crackers when you do that.
All right, you two. Let's drop it then. Have you both read the whole article? Remember the last paragraph?
Sorry, Amy. The last paragraph? Oh, you mean the one where they talk about supermarket chains stocking lots of dairy and meat products from GM-fed animals? What about it?
Just that we could all be eating food produced from GM crops without even knowing it, simply because there is no requirement to mention that on food packaging. Don't get me wrong, whether you're a GM advocate or its critic, you should be given a choice. and it seems to me we're being deprived of it at the moment.
Absolutely. I agree with you there, Amy. Although, generally, Jordan and I are still poles apart on the issue, and I'm afraid it would take him ages to win me over.
That is the end of part 4. You now have 2 hours 40 minutes to complete the rest of the paper.